Hey. Wow, Erev Tov, Chodesh Tov. So exciting to be able to share some Torah on Rosh Chodesh. Such a beautiful day. This should be a beginning of a month of Geula, Mirat Hashem, for us, for all of Klal Yisrael. I have to thank you, Andrea, because if I hadn't, been given this topic to speak on, I don't think I'd know much about this topic at all. My connection to Ya'aleh V'Yavo, and we're going to be looking at Ya'aleh V'Yavo inside together. My connection to Ya'aleh V'Yavo over the years has been somewhat knowing the halachas of what to do when I forget Ya'aleh V'Yavo, I skip Ya'aleh V'Yavo, what to do in benching if I've overrun and I forgot my Ya'aleh V'Yavo. I think I really never understood what the words of this tefillah mean at all. And after having sat and prepared this shiur over the last few weeks and said Ya'aleh V'Yavo this morning in my shacharis, it has a whole new level of meaning. So I hope I get to share and pass some of these ideas on. My plan is to start off by looking at just the words of Ya'aleh V'Yavo, going through the language of the tefillah, try together to pick up some of the themes in the tefillah, try to deepen some of these themes and ideas and see generally what the tefillah is about, and then end off by picking on a few different words so that we can leave off with a little bit of a kavanah, focus on certain words. Okay, with that in mind, we'll just start. Ya'aleh V'Yavo is placed by Chazal in the Shmoneh Esrei and in benching at the part called Ritzui, at the part of the Avodah, at the part of the Tefillah. We'll start really with Shmoneh Esrei, the part of the Tefillah and the Amidah, where we finished asking for all of our personal needs. We finished asking for all of Klal Yisrael's needs, and now we get to the place called the Avodah. And here in Ritzui, in this beautiful Tefillah, where we show Hashem how really and truly we're just yearning for a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Really and truly, we're just yearning for the Beis HaMikdash back. Really, we're just yearning for the time when all of Klal Yisrael can gather in Yerushalayim and the whole world knows there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's in that Tefillah that Chazal chose to place this beautiful, beautiful Tefillah of Ya'aleh V'Yavo. I had a beautiful story that I think will illustrate a little bit about what Ya'aleh V'Yavo is supposed to be doing. And it's a true story. The Baal Shem Tov was once invited to speak in a different community. I imagine he did that many times in his career. The Baal Shem Tov was asked to speak in a different community. And as he gets up to speak, imagine the hush number of people in the room waiting. Wow, the chus of having the Baal Shem Tov address them. And he looks around the room and he starts off and says, wow. I see all your tefillos in this room. I see all the prayers in this room. And there's this moment where everyone around is like looking at each other and thinking, wow, go us. Like he can see our tefillos in this room. And after a very long moment of silence, the Baal Shem Tov looks around at the room and says, this is not a good thing that I can see all your tefillos in this room. Your tefillos should have left this room and gone up to Shamayim. Your tefillos should no longer be in this room. Ya'aleh V'Yavo is that tefillah. Ya'aleh V'Yavo is the tefillah that is supercharged, that is meant to take all of our tefillos and push them up into Shamayim. To give a very modern day example, with WhatsApp. So we know when we send a WhatsApp, we have one tick. We know that it's left our phone. When we see a few minutes later, a few seconds later, depending how good our network is, we see two ticks, which means hopefully it's reached the other party. And if you're allowing others to see and receive, messages, you'll see that it's gone blue, which means that they have now read your message. Again, this is Ya'aleh V'Yavo. It's taking our tefillahs and it's supercharging them, pushing them up out of this space and into Shamayim. Let's begin by looking at the words of the tefillah. Do we have the source sheet that we can place up? Thank you so much, Andrea. Let's start by looking at the words of the tefillah itself, going through the language of Ya'aleh V'Yavo, and let's see as we go through it if we can pick out a theme or a word that seems to be reoccurring. Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu, our God, a God of our fathers, Ya'aleh V'Yavo, V'Yagia, V'Yeroe, V'Yeroetze, V'Yishama, V'Yipaked, V'Yizacher. We have eight words here. We're going to get back to these eight words. May they ascend, come, reach, appear, be desired, heard, counted, and recalled, remembered, and reckoned. Zichronenu v'Zichdonenu v'Zichron avoseinu. May the remembrances of our fathers, remembrances of Mashiach, the son of David, your servant, the remembrances of Yerushalayim, I've continued reading in the English, the city of your sanctuary, and the remembrances of your entire people. Zichron kol amcha beis Yisrael lefanecha, lifleita, letova, lechein, lechesed, rachem, lachaim, leshalom. May the remembrance of your tiny entire people, the house of Israel, before you for survival, for well-being, for favor, kindness, compassion, for life and peace on this day of, and we insert the day, and then we continue the tefillah with, thank you so much. Gosh, I guess I left off the Hebrew over here, but remember us, Hashem, our God, on this day for well-being. Be mindful of us on this day for blessing, and deliver us for life in accordance with the promise of deliverance and compassion. Spare us and favor us, have compassion on us, deliver us. For you to our eyes are directed because you are the Almighty, who is King, gracious, and merciful. Really, in the Hebrew, reads better. But what would be the word that keeps occurring over and over again? I think we would agree it would be the word Zecher or Zikaron. If we go and go back to the beginning of the Tefillah, we can see Zichron Avosenu, Zichron Mashiach, Zichron Yerushalayim, Zichron Kol Amcha Beis Yisrael. There's a lot of Zikaron, a lot of memory, remembrances going on over here. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember? Why is there something about Rosh Chodesh, and not just Rosh Chodesh, every day, the days that we say Yaleh V'Yavo, what remembrance is there supposed to be that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to invoke on that day? In order to understand that, let's look at the next source on the sheet, which is a pasuk from, thank you, it's a pasuk from Bamidbar. It's a pasuk talking about the Yomim Tovim. And here the Torah tells us, v'mo'adechem, on your joyous occasions, on your fixed festivals, uv'roshei and on your Rosh Chodeshes, tika'atem al you should sound the trumpets, the chatzosros, as you offer up your karbanos, va'al zivchei shalmichem, and your burnt offerings, and your well-being offerings, v'hayu lachem, and they shall be for you again. We have this word as a zikaron, as a reminder, lifnei before your God, I am Hashem, your God. What zikaron are we talking about over here? And you'll notice here, this pasuk is referencing all the times that we say Yaaleh V'Yavo. We say Yaaleh V'Yavo on the Yom Simchaschem uv'mo'adechem. That's a reference for the Yomim Tovim of Rosh Hashanah, Sukkos, Pesach, and Shavuos, and the Roshei Chodeshechem on Rosh Chodesh. These are all the times that we say that we offer up extra karbanos, and there are all the times that we have some sort of zikaron in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is this zikaron? Because it's certainly the zikaron that the authors of Yaaleh V'Yavo were referencing. What common denominator is there between all of these particular Yomim Tovim, the Shalosh Regalim, Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Chodesh? And I think one answer is that each of these are days in our calendar where we are very much elevated, where we come very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have an opportunity to feel very, very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different ways. But there is another common denominator, and that is that each of these days on our calendar are days of din, are days of judgment. And if you look in source three, we can see the Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah, Ba'arba prakim ha'olam nidon. There are four times a year that the world is judged. Ba'pesach al ha'tevuah. On Pesach, we are judged for the coming grain of the year. Ba'atzeres, on Shavuos, we're judged al peiros ha'ilan, on the fruit for that year, the fruit of the tree. Barosh Hashanah, which is the obvious one, Kol Ba'ei Olam Orin Lefanev Kivnei Maron. We know that every person passes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everyone is judged. She'ne'emar Hayotzer Yachad Libam Hameven Al Kol Ma'aseihem. Uvachag, which is Sukkos, Nidonin Al Hamayim. We're judged for water. So it's very clear. These days on our calendar are days of judgment. They're beautiful days. They're elevated days. They're days of intense closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they are also days of judgment. And Rosh Chodesh is the same. We say it in Musaf in source four. We can see that in Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, we say, Roshei Chodeshechem, La'amcha Nasata. I gave you these days, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These days of Rosh Chodesh, Zaman Kapara. They're actually a day of Kapara, a day of forgiveness, L'chol Todosam, for all of your generations. V'yosam Makrivam L'fanecha Zivchei Ratzon. These are days when you draw close to me by bringing up offering sacrifices of Ratzon, Si'iri Chatos, but you also bring up sin offerings, L'chaper Ba'adam, to atone. Zikaron L'kulam Yiyu. And again, these are days of memorial. These are something that's going on again with Zikaron. And the commentary, the Levush, who was a contemporary of the Maharal of Prague living in the 1500s, he writes on his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim that the reason that we don't say a full Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is because, and we can read the words that he says, Havei kmo Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim, because these days of Rosh Chodesh have a sense, a feeling of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Shehem Yimei Din. These are days of judgment. So we see that all of the days that we say Ya'aleh v'Yavo on, these are days of tremendous closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they are also days of din, of judgment. And therefore, what are we asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember when we keep repeating this word, Zecher, 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 in our Ya'aleh v'Yavo? I saw the most incredibly beautiful idea in the Sefer of Rav Schwab on prayer. And this is source five. He tells us that we all know, and we're familiar with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, that tells us, and we'll just look at the end of the Mishnah, the bolded part, where we say that v'histakel b'shlosha devarim, you should take care, look at three things, v'ata bad lidei avera, which will prevent you from sinning, v'ama lamala memcha, know who's above you, ayin ro'eh v'ozen shamas, know that there is a listening ear, sorry, a watching eye and a listening ear, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavin. Every single act that you do is recorded. And again, in today's world with technology and with everything that we have, it's not hard for us to imagine what it means that everything that goes on is recorded. But actually, the Mishnah in Avos was getting this from a pasuk in Malachi. And we're going to lay in this pasuk as part of the Haftorah on Shabbos HaGadol. Here, the Navi tells us, Az nidbru'u yirei Hashem ishel re'ehu. In this vein, have those who've revered Hashem been talking one to another? Vayakshev Hashem, vayishma, vayikosev sefer zichron lefanav, yirei Hashem elochosh veshemo. Hashem has heard, Hashem has noted, and a scroll of remembrance, a sefer zikaron, is written by Hashem. And those who revere Hashem, sorry, the behest of those who revere Hashem and esteem his holy name. Reminding us again that there is no deed, no mitzvah, no tiny thing that we do in this world that isn't somehow recorded and seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're familiar with a beautiful story. It's worth repeating because I think it illustrates it so well. It's a story told by the family of Rav Chaim of Elazhin. It's a story concerning the Gra's wife. And the Gra's wife and her friend were known for going around and collecting tzedakah for the aniyim in their area. And the two women made a pact between themselves, whichever one would leave this world first would come down to her friend in a dream and would reveal to her some of what went on upstairs in Shomayim. The second woman died first, and she came to the wife of the Vilna Gaon in a dream, and she said, Shomayim doesn't really allow me to reveal what goes on up here, but because I promised I'd come to you, they gave me permission to tell you one thing. Do you remember that we once went collecting stock at a woman's house and she wasn't home? And then we were walking on a street and you saw her. You picked up your finger to point across the street and said, "There she is." We both crossed the road and she gave us the tzedakah. You should know, in Shemaim, the merit of tzedakah is written down for both of us. However, there's an added merit recorded just for you since you lifted your finger and pointed to where she was walking. Every single mitzvah, every single tiny act is recorded in Shamayim. However, there is a problem because whilst we might do many, 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 many mitzvahs and many good things, there is something preventing them reaching up to Shamayim. And this, Rav Schwab says, is the Gemara in Sota 21 Aleph. And I've just taken a little tiny piece of the Gemara. It says the Avera Mechaber Mitzvah, that an Avera can extinguish a mitzvah, which means we may have done a tremendous amount of mitzvahs, expecting that all the tiny details of all the good things that we've done should be written down and there should be a beautiful reward waiting for us in Shamayim. But somehow these mitzvahs are trapped and they're not able to reach up and be fully recorded in the Sefer Zichronos. And that's because of the Averis that we've done that have trapped somehow these mitzvahs down here. What are we supposed to do? Every single time we say Yaleh v'Yavo, on each of these days on the calendar, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, and all the Rosh Chodeshim, these are Zaman Kapara. These are specific times of din where we have an opportunity to do an extra teshuva and daven and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us for all of these averus that are preventing our mitzvahs from really rising up. And once we've done that, says Rav Schwab, we can say Ya'aleh. Now that I've asked for kapara on these days, Ya'aleh, let all of these mitzvahs that I've accumulated that have been trapped, now let them rise up and go to Shamayim. So I think that's the first level of understanding what Ya'aleh v'Yavo is all about. It's a beautiful tefillah gifted to us by Chazal, specifically reminding us that on these days when we say Ya'aleh v'Yavo, there is a time of judgment. This is a Yom Din going on. It's time of tremendous closeness and kirva to Hashem, but it's also times during the year where we can ask for forgiveness and allow all of the trapped, so to speak, mitzvahs be able to go up, Ya'aleh, up to Shamayim, and be fully placed, remembered, and placed in the Sefer HaZikaron. That's level one. But we can take this a little bit deeper. Let's take a step back. As a beautiful, beautiful medrash, I apologize, I didn't put it on the source sheet. It's a little bit of a long medrash, and it's a medrash that comes up in Shir HaShirim. We'll come back to the source sheet in a few minutes. It's a medrash that comes up in Shir HaShirim, and I'm going to read some of it inside. It says that, quoting a pasuk in Bereishis, Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim mishalich bagan, and they heard the voice of Hashem mishalich going about in Gan Eden. And Chazal, Omer Rav Abba, you ask the question, mahalich ein kasif kan ela mishalich. What does it mean, mahalich, mishalich? What is this word meant to teach us? He says, mekapetz v'solik, mekapetz v'solik. You should know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina came down to the walls and it was felt in Gan Eden, but it's mishalich. It doesn't just stay there. It stays there only if we deserve it. It comes and goes, comes and goes. And he continues and he writes what happened. So initially, the Shechina of Hashem was really strongly felt in Gan Eden, but then Adam HaRishon sins. Chata Adam HaRishon, v'nistalka HaShechina l'Rakia. Adam sins, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina rises up out of this world and goes up to the first level of Shemayim. Chata Kayin, Kayin sins, and nistalka l'Rakia HaSheni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdraws even further back to the second level of Shemayim. Chata Enosh, nistalka l'Rakia HaShlishi. Enosh sins, and it goes back a third level. Chata Dor HaMabel, nistalka l'Rakia HaRavi. Time of Dor HaMabel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls back even further to the fourth level. Chata Dor HaMigdal, at the time of the Migdal Bavel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdrew even further. L'Rakia HaChamishi, Chatu Anshei Sodom, the time of the people of Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdrew to the sixth level, and Chotu HaMitzrim b'yemei Avraham, in the time of Avram, in the time of the Mitzrayim, they sinned, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdrew even higher up, the Rakia HaShvi'i. And then what happens? In accordance with these seven levels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gone up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed seven tzaddikim in this world to bring back his Shekhinah to be felt back in this world. And he continues a beautiful, beautiful medrash. He says, Shiva tzaddikim v'horiduha la'aretz. There were seven tzaddikim who brought Hashem's Shekhinah back down to this world. Zacha Avraham harida mishvi'i la'shishi. Avraham Avinu comes around and he brings it from the seventh to the sixth level. Amad Yitzchak v'horida mishishi la'chamishi. Amad Yaakov harida machamishi La'Ravi, Amad Levi, V'harida Maria L'Shlishi, and he continues on and says, until when, and this is so beautiful that we're reading this Medrash today, the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is brought down, 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 back into this world. When does it fully emesh and come back into this world? I'll read you the line because it's amazing that we're saying this today. He says, Amad Moshe v'harida la'aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu brought it down to this world. What day was it? Vayihi b'yom kalos Moshe l'hakim es ha-mishkan. It was on the day when the Mishkan was fully completed and the Avodah started. That's today. That's on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially placed his Shechina in this world, but due to the sins of the people of the earlier generations up until the time of Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled back his Shechina level after level after level. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gifted us with seven tzaddikim who brought back his Shechina into this world until the time of the Mishkan. But we know, and I don't have the rest of the Medrash to read, but we know when we speak about it in Tisha B'Av that throughout the generations, through the sins of Chet HaEgel, through the sins of Chet HaMeraglim, through the sins that were committed in the time of Bayis Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu again withdrew and withdrew and withdrew until it came time of the Churban, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then again withdrew back to the seventh level of Shamayim, where he allowed a part of his Shechina to stay hovering over the Makom HaMikdash, which is why when we go to Daven at the Kotel, we feel some extra presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. So we have this idea that there's these seven levels of Shamayim, that sometime in history HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down and we felt his presence, but now we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is up back, so to speak, on the seventh level of Shamayim. There is, of course, a period of during the year where we're able to pull, or HaKadosh Baruch himself comes and brings his Shechina back and we feel a closeness to him. And that's during the period of Elul and Tishrei. And I have to say, the tefillah that usually, I think it's unfortunate for me, that hits me the most through the Elul Tishrei period is actually the tefillah that we say at the end of Yom Kippur. And always, since I was young, this is the tefillah. Nothing, wish something else made me cry, but it's always this tefillah at the end of Yom Kippur that really evokes something in me when we say Shema and then we say Baruch Shem three times and then we scream out together, Hashem, Hu HaElokim. And we say it seven times as we accompany HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina that has felt so close to us for the last month and 10 days. We accompany HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina back up through the seven levels of Shemayim. I have to say, actually, on a personal note, I just came back less than a week ago from a trip in Eretz Yisrael. I was lucky enough to help lead a Chizuk mission to Eretz Yisrael. And I landed in Eretz Yisrael, and I knew it was on a very tight schedule. It was very shortly after Purim, and I was meeting the group by the Old City. They had landed a few hours before me, and I was meeting them by the Old City, and I was in desperate need of some chizuk. The whole trip was going to be visiting widowers, visiting bases, visiting places connected to October 7th, hearing very, very difficult, very uplifting stories, but very, very difficult stories. And the one chizuk piece of the whole mission was going to be going to the Old City, and I was going to be leading the women in a tour of the Kotel tunnels. Like I said, I had just landed and I was in desperate need of some chizuk myself. As we finished the Kotel tunnel tours, and for people who are familiar with that area, there is an area in there that where there's an Ezras Nashim, a small shul that women can go into and daven in a covered area by the Kotel. And I don't usually take groups to that part. After we finish the tour, I usually lead them back out to the sunlight, back out to daven at the Kotel itself. But I felt something. I felt like I wanted to show the women at least where this area and the space was. And as I came towards it, and it's usually very, very quiet there. There's a few women davening, and you can see down into the men's, and there's usually also only a handful of men standing there davening. But as I came in and I brought the ladies with me inside, there was a thundering sound of tefillah, hundreds of voices. I looked down, there was hundreds of Hasidim standing there. And it took me a minute or two to decipher what they were saying, but I realized that they would be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim. They were screaming out Shema, they screamed out Baruch Shem, and then I stood there for about 5 blissful minutes as they screamed Hashem Hu HaElokim with more kavana than I've ever heard. It was unbelievable. Hashem Hu HaElokim. My mamash felt at that moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. I felt they had managed somehow to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the seven rakias, from the seven heavens, right back there. So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is there, but it's hard. It's hard to reach up to. It's seven layers away from us. The Gra says something phenomenal. He says, Ya'aleh v'yavo is our opportunity to reach ourselves up through these seven levels and find ourselves in front of the Kiseh HaKavod. And we'll read, if we go back to the source sheet, you can see I put two sources. One is from Rav Munk's Sefer, World of Prayer. He says, That B'nai Yisrael kol kach hitrach kumi min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'nai Yisrael find themselves so distant, so far away, so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shefa'ulo sav b'tochem inyaneros od le'enehem b'tzurei galuya. We wish so much we could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so close, but we're so far away. Ach b'mir Rosh Chodesh uv'moadim. But during the time of Rosh Chodesh, uv'moadim, at these specific Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and Rosh Hashanah, ka'asher heim chashim biyoter se'es et tshukasam elav, when we have this extra measure, this extra closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heim mitpalelim shezichronam zichron ha'avas v'zichron kol zichuyosei midavan, that our own zikaron, our own, the zikaron of the avos, the zikaron of all of their merits, ki'ilu yifrutz b'koach derach, will allow us to jump with force, derech kol chet rikiim ela, through these eight, he puts eight over here, levels of shamayim, kedei lahagia lamala al machitas Hashem lefayas oto, that will come so close, jump, so to speak, through the hoops, get up all the way to the top level of shamayim, and feel more closer to HaKadosh Baruch. And we'll come back to the second part of Rav Monk in a moment, but if you jump down to source seven, you can see I've placed just one line of the Vilna Gaon's Pirush. And again, we're going to go through it. I do not claim to understand it, but I thought it was so beautiful that I'm going to share it. Here he says, Hiskir shmona mine hagashos vet karvus keneged shiva rakim. He says, we're going to read in Yale v'yavo eight expressions, and they are keneged the sheva rakim, the seven levels of shamayim, asher b'chataenu alsa hashamayim lemala mizayin rakim, that through our own sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina has gone up through these seven levels of the rakia. Now us, we here, through this tefillah, at certain specific moments of the year, are able to rise ourselves up and pull ourselves up through these seven levels of shamayim and come very, very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each of these different levels, each of these different rakiyas. I'm going to share what the Vilna Gaon calls each of these levels. Again, I do not claim to understand what they are. And then I'm going to add in ideas and thoughts, some taken from Rav Lev's Sefer and some taken from other Sfarim, that could maybe bring alive a little bit about what we're meant to be thinking and feeling as we say and reach up through these different levels. Okay, we'll start with Ya'aleh. Ya'ale is keneged, the level in Shamayim, the lowest level in Shamayim, which is called the Vilon, which is a cotton in modern Hebrew, it's a cotton. And the grass tells us that it's from this place, this low level, that HaKadosh Baruch is machadish b'chol yom tamid, that this is from here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up, so to speak, like a curtain, opens up Shamayim, and every day gives us back the sun, gives us back the moon, and renews the world. So what is the level of growth? What is our stepping stone of coming close to our Kaddish Baruch Hu over here? What should we have in mind? That the stage one of growth, the Ya'ale level of growth, that a person must want to grow, that a person must prepare themselves and be open to opportunities of growth. We say, "Bederech she'adam rotze lelech bo molichin oso." Chazal tell us that a way a man wants to go, he is led. If we want to reach up, HaKadosh Baruch will help us. And with the word Ya'ale, we daven that we are open enough to taking that first step to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch. V'yavo. The Gra says that the word V'yavo is connected to the second level of Shamayim, which is called the Rakia. Here, he says, is the yeshiva shamala. This is where the heavenly court, the heavenly yeshiva sits. And it's where neshamas arrive first after they leave this world. The first thing that each neshama will be said to each neshama is, Baruch haba, welcome, vayavo, from haba, welcome. This is where we will reach after we leave this world. Stage two of growth, on the second rung of reaching up, is the idea of peeling away the gashmias that surrounds us, pulling back the things that are preventing us, and looking at what we have, taking stock of what we do have in the gashmias world, and figuring out how to use it to bring ourselves and to bring it closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The third level, on the rungs of Ya'aleh v'yavo, on the rungs of the ladder reaching up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through these levels of Shamayim, is V'yagia. And this is connected, says the Gra, to a level in Shamayim called the Shechakim, He says, "This is the place in Shamayim where the man is ground up, the heavenly food that was given to Bnei Yisrael through the years in the Midbar. The man, this was where it was ground up." Again, I don't claim to understand what this means, but I think the idea behind it is very, very beautiful. He says, "Every person would receive the man in accordance with a level of greatness, in accordance with the level they have pushed themselves to develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would be reflected where the man would fall for that person." So if a person was very great in the Midbar, someone who'd worked and tried in developing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that person would open up his tent in the morning, step outside, and find his man freshly placed right outside of his tent. Somebody, on the other hand, who hadn't pushed and worked on his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would have to go that bit further to retrieve his man. The word yagia is the same as the word yaga, effort. It is also the same as the word lahagia, to reach. Chazal explain that through our effort, through our own effort in pushing ourselves to develop our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pushing ourselves even through the difficult periods, even through the times when it's very hard to understand why certain things are happening to us, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, but pushing ourselves through yagia, through our own toil nonetheless, we will arrive at a destination of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Stephen Covey times, I think this is the idea of beginning with the ends in mind. If we push ourselves, if we remind ourselves that all my effort, every speck of effort that I make, even through the challenges, are someday going to be rewarded, that's the level of Vayagya. Next level, the Yirah. We should be seen, or the tefillah should be seen. This, says the Vilna Gaon, is connected to the level in Shemayim called the Ma'on. Quotes a pasuk, Hashkifa mima'on kodshecha. And this, he says, is the place where the Malachi Hasharis exist. We know that Malachim, or we're told, Chazal tell us, that Malachim have only one foot. We mirror this when we daven Shemoneh Esrei with our feet together. We mirror Malachim with only one foot. And again, what does this really mean? One of the ideas is that Malachim have only one mission, and they're solely focused on that one mission. So, stage four of our growth of reaching up is reminding ourselves that we must develop a focus, that we are working l'shem shamayim, that our entire goal in this world, with every action that we do, is just to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is just to bring about Kavod Shamayim, is just to act in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next level is the level of Vayirakte, which is that our tefillahs should be willingly received. Ritzui, there should be a willingness to have them be received. And this, says the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, is connected to a level in Shamayim called the Zevul. The Zevul is also the name given to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gra says this level in Shamayim, this fifth level, is the level where the Yerushalayim Shel Ma'ala exists. We say that there's a Yerushalayim Shel Ma'ala and there's a Yerushalayim Shel Mata. So the Yerushalayim Shel Ma'ala, according to the Gra, exists in this fifth level of Shamayim. The growth idea on this fifth level is that a person must try to keep his intentions very pure. Just like a Kohen walking into the Beis HaMikdash was only and had to concentrate fully on his act at that moment of bringing a carbon, of coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, us too must try throughout our day, throughout our life, to be yerotzeh, to be trying to act every moment in full service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with not just our body, but also with our intentions. The sixth level is the word Vayishoma, and that the tefillah should be heard. And this is connected, said the Vilna Gaon, to a level called the Machon. Machon Shiftecha, a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. It's the abode of the Shekhinah. And this, says the Gra, is a place of cleansing in Shamayim, where neshamas will go to after they've arrived. They'll be pushed up to this level while they're experiencing a cleansing in Shamayim. And here, The Mefarshim seem to understand that this level of Shamayim in our growth is that a person must want to make the service of Hashem a complete and stable part of himself. He must commit ongoingly every single day, every single moment to feeling and connecting more and more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with everything that he does. And the last level, the seventh level, which is Vayipaked and Vayizacher together, says the Vilna Gaon. This is the word to be remembered, and this is the place in Shamayim that is just beneath the Kiseh HaKavod. This is the place where neshamas came from in the first place, and this is the place where the neshamas will go back to eventually afterwards. And the last and final level, this growth level number seven, is that a person must work to achieve throughout his life a total dveikus to Hashem, a total clinging, coming back completely and utterly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see, according to the Vilna Gaon, that these seven words of Yaaleh, Yavo, Yagiyah, Ve'era, Ve'eratzeh, Yishama, Ve'yipaked, Ve'yizacher are not just seven words where we're pushing our tefillos up to Shamayim. These are seven words that remind us to push ourselves up in our own Avodas Hashem, reaching up through seven levels of Shamayim, so we can stand right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on these specific days of the Yom HaDin, but also Yemei Kirva, days of tremendous closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we reach past all seven levels of Shamayim and find ourselves right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kiseh HaKavod and talking to him. I think it's so beautiful, the imagery, and when we stand and we say Yaaleh V'yavo, just to remind ourselves that these seven words are really seven levels that we're pushing ourselves up. It sort of supercharged my Shemoneh Esrei this morning when I was saying Yaaleh V'yavo. Rav Lev notes, though, that Yaaleh, Yavo, Yagia, Yerah, these are words that are in the singular. And straight after that, if we go back to the beginning of the source sheet, we'll notice that, thank you, that right after we say these words, you can see on the top line, Yaaleh, all of a sudden we switch to the plural. We start off by individually imploring HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow us to come close to him, to judge us, and now we switch into davening together with Am Yisrael, Zichroneinu, Fikdoneinu. Please remember and record all of us. Zichron Avoseinu, allow the remembrance of our fathers. Vezichron Mashiach ben David Avdecha, the remembrance of Mashiach, the remembrance of Yerushalayim. Vezichron Kol Amcha Beit Yisrael Lefanecha. All of a sudden, we switch into talking about Klal Yisrael, and we have these three different levels of zikaron, of memory. Let's go back for a minute. Let's go down for a minute. Scroll back down on our source sheet, back to the beautiful piece of Rav Monk, and let's read the second part of what he says over here. Thank you. He says, "Zichron Avoseinu." When we say Zichron Avoseinu, we are talking about Ha'avar, the past. Shebo Nichrasa Habris Im Ha'avos. We remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are coming from somewhere. That me standing here today, I am linking myself to the memory of what came before me, the time of the Avos. And then he continued and he says, Zichron Mashiach, this is the Asid. This is talking about the future. Shabbat Titkayim HaHavtacha HaMashiches. This is a reference to the future that we daven and we yearn for the ultimate goal, the ultimate time period called Mashiach. And Zichron Yerushalayim HaHoveh is the present time. Shabbat Mitzapah HaEir HaNechrevet LeBnei HaMechadesh LeChazeret Ma'amda HaNiskav Ki'ir HaKodesh HaNitzchi. We link ourselves to Yerushalayim of the presence, which right now is a destroyed city, but we know that one day we hope for it to be in the future restored with Kedusha, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechinah. Why is this so incredibly beautiful? And I actually, to really illustrate it, I want to share a story. And it is a childish story, I must admit, but it's a story that my father-in-law would tell every single year to the participants of his Seder night. And we continue to share every single night to the participants at our Seder night. And whilst it's a childish story, I think the message is unbelievable. Story is as follows. There was a group of scientists working on a special spaceship. They'd found out that on one of the planets of Mars, becoming more realistic today to get to Mars, but one of the planets of Mars, there existed some sort of mineral that, if it could only be brought back to planet Earth, would save hundreds and hundreds of lives. However, to get to this particular planet was at least a journey of 500 years. And therefore, the six families of scientists decided that they together would design a spaceship that would be able to exist in space for 500 years, whatever the time it would take to get there, and whatever the time it would take to get back. It would have whatever it needed on board: food, supplies, fuel. I'm not sure how this works, but the story, but this is what they had in mind. And the six families decide that they're going to live on board the spaceship. They're going to say goodbye to planet Earth, their children, and they're going to make a new life for themselves, with the hope that obviously that the children would marry into each other, and eventually the generations would continue and the mission would be passed down. So they leave planet Earth. They all know, every single person, certainly the adults on board that spaceship, understand that pressing the red button is going to take us in that direction. Pressing the blue button is going to take us in that direction. And they leave with a very beautiful book, a book of photos, a book of pictures of what the house looked like, what a blade of grass looks like, what a tree looks like, what a street looks like, all the pictures of planet Earth that they would ever need to remember where they come from, atlases and maps. And they also have a book of instructions reminding them of what their mission was and how to use the spaceship. All aboard 1098, and off they are hurtling through space. And the years roll on, and it's a lovely life up there. And every so often, they'll get together and they'll take out their photo album and they'll remind themselves, oh, do you remember what grass looks like? And do you remember the color green? We haven't seen much green up here. And time rolls on, and the children do start marrying into each other, and everybody remembers that there's a mission. And as the parents of the first generation are about to leave this world, or leave that world, or leave that rocket, whatever they're about to pass on, they remind their children. They say, listen, you were five, six, seven, you were young children when we left planet Earth. But do you remember what we did when we got on the spaceship? Do you remember that we had a mission? Do you remember where we came from? Do you remember why we're going to Mars? And before they passed away, they gave their children instructions on how to continue the journey. And this goes on for the next generation and the next generation. But after a couple of hundred of years, there are very few people on board who even have a memory of what the red button was meant to do, what the blue button was meant to do. And that photo album with a picture of Earth, it was somewhere, some room on the spaceship. No one could remember where it was. And they're hurtling through space, and nobody has any idea of what they're doing up there. There's nobody to ask and nobody questions, and they just continue living. And every so often, somebody makes mention, does anyone know what our mission's about? And there's no one to answer the questions. They continue living on until one day, this strange beeping starts happening. Alert, alert, alert. And everybody runs panic. We've never heard that before. What's going on? What's going on? And they're trying to run around the spaceship, figuring out what it is. And there's one small boy. As they're looking everywhere on the spaceship, he comes across these two very dusty books shoved into a corner. They clearly haven't been looked at for a very long time. And he opens it up, and picture of pictures. And he has no idea, book of pictures, no idea what he's looking at. And he brings it to the adult and says, look, I found this book. Can anyone explain what this is about? And with it, there's this other book. It seems like a book of instructions. And no one's opened this for years. And they sit down together and they open it up and they go through it and they realize, oh, this is what one of us heard from our great, great, great grandfather. And this is what's passed on, apparently, from the generations that started on this mission. These are the pictures of where we come from. This photo album of planet Earth, that's where we all started off. And this book with all those instructions, it tells us about how to use the spaceship and gives us instructions and reminds us what our mission, this is the instructions to tell us where we're going to. This is what we call in our family the rocket story mashal. But really, it's a mashal for us. Really, it's a mashal reminding us that as Am Yisrael, there's a starting point. We started at the time of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We started the time of the Avos and Imahos with a mission. Our mission was to be an Or LaGoyim, be a light unto the nations, be the receivers of the Torah, bring Hashem's Shechinah presence into this world, and ultimately working towards the period called Mashiach, when the whole world will know of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are times when we're caught and distracted and, fall off track. And actually, the reason why we do tell this to our family on Seder night is because we remind ourselves that Seder night, this moment of sitting down as a family, is that moment when we sat on the spaceship and we opened up these albums and pictures and reminded us of where we're coming from and where we're going to. And this again is what's going on in the Tefillah of Yah Levi Yavo. We say Zichroneinu v'Zichron Avoseinu, Ribono Shel Olam, I come from somewhere. I come from the Avos and Imahos. Zichron Avoseinu v'Zichron Mashiach ben David Avdecha, and I'm going somewhere. I'm part of a Mesorah. I'm part of a mission. I'm part of a destiny that is leading us to the Zman Mashiach. The Zichron Yerushalayim, but right now I exist over here. I am in this world right now, and I have to be the link in the chain of what went on before me and what's going to happen in the future. With that in mind, I'd like to read a story. I'd like to read a letter. I hope I can get through this without crying. I haven't managed to yet. It's a beautiful, beautiful letter that was written by Rav Aaron Lapiansky. He entitled "A Letter to My Child on Seder Night." My dear child, it is now a quiet moment late at night after an exhausting day of Pesach cleaning. You have sunk into the sweetest of sleeps, and I'm sitting here with a pile of Haggadahs preparing for Seder night. Somehow the words never come out the way I want to, and the Seder evening is always unpredictable, but so many thoughts and feelings are welling up in my mind, and I want to share them with you. These are the words I mean to say at the Seder. When you will see me at the Seder dressed in a kittel, the same plain white garment worn on Yom Kippur, your first question will be, why are you dressed like this? Because it is a Yom Kippur, a day of reckoning. You see, each one of us has a double role. First and foremost, we are human beings created in the image of Hashem, and on Yom Kippur, we are examined if indeed we are worthy of that title. But we are also components of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, links in a chain that started over 3,000 years ago and will make it to the finishing line at the end of times. It's a relay race where a torch is passed on through all the ages, and it is our charge to take it from the one before and pass it to the one after. Tonight we are being judged as to how well we have received our tradition and how well we are passing it on. It is 3,300 years since we received that freedom in Egypt. If we imagine the average age of having a child to be about 25 years of age, there are four generations each century. That means there is a total of 132 people stretching from our forefathers in Egypt to us today. 132 people had to pass on this heritage flawlessly with a devotion and single-mindedness that could not falter. Who were these 133 fathers of mine? One had been in the Nazi death camps, one had been whipped unconscious by Cossacks, one had children stolen by the Tsar, and one was the laughing stock of his enlightened brethren. One lived in a basement in Warsaw with many days passing with no food in his mouth. The other ran a stupendous mansion in France. One had been burned at a stake for refusing to believe in the divinity of a flesh and blood, and one had been frozen to death in Siberia for continuing to believe in the divinity of the eternal gods. One had been hounded by a mob for living in Europe rather than Palestine, and one had been blown up by Palestinians for not living in Europe. One had been a genius who could not enter medical school because he was not a Christian, and one was fed to lions by the Romans. 132 fathers, each with his own story, each with his own test of faith, and each with one overriding and burning desire that this legacy be passed unscathed to me, and one request of me that I pass this on to you, my sweet child. What is this treasure that they have given this lives for? What is this precious packet that 132 generations have given up everything for? It is a great secret that man is capable of being a lot more than an intelligent primate, that the truth of an almighty God does not depend on public approval, and no matter how many people jeer at you, truth never changes, that the quality of life is not measured by goods, but by the goods, that one can be powerfully hungry, and yet one can forgo eating if it is not kosher, that a penny that is not mine, no matter what the temptation or rationalization, that family bonding is a lot more than birthday parties, it is a commitment of loyalty that does not buckle in a moment of craving or lust, and so much more. This is our precious secret, and it is our charge to live it and to become a shining display of this is what it means to live with Hashem. 132 people have sat Seder night after Seder night, year after year, with every fiber of their heart and soul, made sure that this treasure would become mine and yours. I'm the 133rd person in this holy chain, and at times I doubt if I am passing it on well enough. I try hard, but it's hard not to quiver when you are on the vertical shoulders of 132 people begging you not to disappoint them by toppling everyone with you, swaying in the wind. My dear child, may God grant us many long and happy years together, but one day in the distant future, I'll be dressed in a kittel again as they prepare me for my burial. Try to remember that this is the treasure that I've passed on to you, and then it will be your turn. You will be the 134th with the sacred duty to pass on our legacy to number 135. Beautiful. This message is as well the message of Yah Leviyavo, that each of us individually are super powering ourselves to reach up through the levels of Shamayim, but each of us collectively are part of a bigger picture called Am Yisrael, where we're journeying from somewhere, Zichron Avosenu, and we're journeying to Zichron Mashiach ben David Avdecha. And I only have a couple more minutes, so I'm going to end with something a little bit more practical. And if we jump back to the source sheet, back to the end, lines of Yah Leviyavo, and actually, I apologize because I don't, for some reason, I didn't put it in the Hebrew. You know, actually, we'll go with source number eight. I'm going to, yeah, thank you. I'll read the Hebrew out from Yah Leviyavo because I apologize, it didn't come out over there. We say at the end of Yah Leviyavo, Zachreinu Hashem Elokeinu, remember us Hashem, bo letova, ufakdeinu vo levracha, vehoshienu vo lechayim. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember and save us for tova. Bo letova, bo levracha, uvo lachaim. We have these three bos, tova, bracha, and chaim, that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember us for. And if we quickly take a glance at source number eight, it's the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, where he tells us that hayom v'halayla kaftal shaos, the day and the night together is 24 hours. Dai lo la'adam lishon shlishin shehu shmona shaos. You should know that a man should really sleep. It's sufficient, really, for a man to sleep 8 full hours. Halavai. V'yibasof halayla k'dei shetiyem metchila shnasa shmona. We can leave it there, that basically our night should, our sleeping time or our time investment in our physical side, our physical self, should be 8 hours long. And this has been sourced in a number of places. I particularly saw this in a Parish of the Bab of a Rebbe on Yah Leviyavo. And he says that if 24 hours, 8 of them are given up to being our physical needs, taking care of our physical needs, we have 16 hours left. That too can be divided into 2 sets of 8. One of those sets of eight should be used for Parnassah, and one of those sets of eight should be used for Talmud Torah and anything in the spiritual realm, davening, mitzvahs, avodas Hashem, anything in the spiritual realm. And that way we have a 24-hour period. And he plugs, he's not the only one to do it, but it's so beautiful, plugs it back into this idea of bo la tova. Tova is a connection to Torah. Bo levracha. This is a connection to Parnassa. Bracha is Parnassa. And Bo L'chaim. Chaim is taking care of all of our physical needs. We have three bows, and the gematria of bow is eight. When we daven in this bracha, one of the kavanas that we can have, as we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I so badly want to live a life of connection to you. I so badly want to bring every aspect of myself closer to you. And I daven that I should use bo letova, 8 hours of my day I can use to be focused on all of the things I need to do in the spiritual world. I can dedicate 8 full hours of my day somehow to Torah, to mitzvahs, to tefillah, and I can dedicate 8 hours of my day to parnasa, to all that I need to do to earn money. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me and allow me that I can use the last 8 hours of my day to work and invest on all the physical side of myself. And with that, we have in mind that our entire 24-hour period should be one that is used appropriately to bring ourselves closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that sums up this incredible tefillah of Yah Leviyavo. It's a tefillah both of din, where we remind ourselves that there are things that have trapped us from allowing our mitzvahs to go up. We now open up the gates of Shamayim and push our mitzvahs right back up. We remind ourselves through these eight words of our desire to reach up through the 7 levels of Shamayim. We remind ourselves where we're coming from and where we're going to. And we remind ourselves that on our 24-hour period, we should use each set of eight, Lashem Shamayim, be it physical, be it spiritual, or be it Parnassah, to come closer to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is taste of Yah Leviyavo. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that we all have more kavana and enjoy more this beautiful, beautiful tevela, which we certainly have coming up in the next few weeks. Plenty of opportunities to say.
Wow, Esty, thank you so much. That was really beautiful. I'm gonna unmute people now if there are questions. I already received questions, Esty, if you don't mind You could, if possible, to send me that letter from Rabbi Lubianski, and I'll send it out.
100%.
People have
I'll
already.
try to place the link. I'll send you the link and people could have it. It's
Okay.
just.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank
much,
you
Mr. Dad.
very
It was
much.
I needed you
Beautiful.
last night, really.
Oh, Ritz Hashem, lots of Yalla to come.
Yes, that's true.
Please God, please God.
Thank you. Thank you
Certainly
so much.
change the way we're going to daven.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for
Thank
listening.
you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you very
Thank you
much.
Yes.
Thank you
Chodesh
so
so much. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you. Thank
Thank you,
you.
Andrea. Thank you, Esti.
Pleasure.